It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 878 for the 19th of April, 2024. This week, you still have about a year and a half to decide what you'll do when Microsoft ends support for Windows 10. There are several choices, but not all options will work for all users. Let's take a look at some that'll keep the computer out of the trash. In short circuits, although Microsoft has added a file renamer function to PowerToys, it won't be sufficient when you need to apply complex names to a lot of files. A manual process becomes cumbersome when more than just a few files are involved, absurd for hundreds or thousands of files, so this is a job for the bulk rename utility. And newer keyboards have a special key to open the emoticon finder. But there's a faster and easier way to insert bullets, fractions, currency symbols, and accented characters. It's yet another utility built into PowerToys. Microsoft will end support for Windows 10 about 18 months from now. You'll still be able to use the computer if it's running Windows 10, but the operating system will no longer receive security updates. The obvious possibilities include upgrading the computer to Windows 11, but that might not be possible. If you've already upgraded an unsupported computer to Windows 11, that upgrade may not stick. So now what are the options? Well, let's start with the worst possible choice. Throw the computer into a landfill. Please, don't do that. At the very least, find a way to keep it out of the landfill. Find somebody who will use it, donate it, recycle it. Just don't send it to a landfill. Second worst choice, just keep using the computer even though you will not receive any security updates. That does keep the computer out of the landfill. But it exposes you and every bit of information on the computer to unacceptable risks. People are still using Windows computers with Windows XP, so your Windows 10 PC won't magically shut down, levitate away, or halt and catch fire on the 14th of October, 2025. But the danger will increase on every day that passes. Crooks like to find security flaws in old operating systems because they know the bugs will never be squished. Antivirus vendors are likely to continue supporting Windows 10 computers for a while, maybe forever, but third-party protective applications can't address operating system bugs. There is one exception in which the danger doesn't increase significantly. A Windows 10 computer that is not connected to the internet in any way, wired or wireless, will be relatively safe. But don't transfer files to or from that computer with a thumb drive. Another option, upgrading an unsupported computer to Windows 11. That's a risky approach, even though it can be done sometimes. Not all of the strict requirements for Windows 11 are absolutely essential. Some of the restrictions can be ignored, and I described that process a few weeks ago on TechBiter Worldwide. If your Windows 10 computer isn't fully compatible with Windows 11, but isn't so old that Windows 11 will not run, installing Windows 11 is possible. The trouble is that those unsupported installations aren't guaranteed to receive updates. Those who spend a lot of time trying to decipher Microsoft tea leaves seem to think that unless the computer is more than 10 years old, these middle ground computers will probably continue to run normally and receive security updates. If you want to go that route, see adding Windows 11 to a reluctant Windows 10 PC on TechBiter Worldwide from the 2nd of February. If you don't need the computer to run Windows, you could install Google's Chrome OS Flex, or one of the Linux variants. Chrome OS Flex won't convert the computer to be a Chromebook, but Chrome OS Flex will continue to receive security updates. Chrome OS Flex doesn't support every PC, but unlike Windows 11, it will install on unsupported PCs. Beware, though, that not all hardware is guaranteed to work if the computer isn't supported, and Chrome OS Flex doesn't have all the features you'll find in a real Chromebook. Another option, installing Linux on a Windows computer. Well, that has the same drawbacks as Chrome OS Flex. Some hardware devices may not work. This is the case for hardware that uses proprietary device drivers. Linux is reliable, though, and some distros closely mimic Windows. Wine is the acronym for Wine is not an emulator. But even with Wine, not all Windows applications will run under Linux. Unless you are tied to Windows apps that won't run under Linux, that can be a pretty good choice. And finally, the easiest and possibly best solution, if you want to continue running Windows 10, is simply to pay Microsoft for the Extended Security Update program. Microsoft has offered extended support like this to enterprise users for Windows XP and for Windows 7, but has never made that offer to home and small office users. We don't know yet how much Microsoft will charge, but we do know there will be no feature updates for Windows 10 after October 2025. Users who enroll in the subscription plan will receive security updates for up to 3 years. Business users paid $50 per computer for the first year of extended support for Windows 7. That price increased to $100 the second year and $200 per computer the third year. That may be a guide for home users and Windows 10, or it might have nothing to do with anything. If you simply want to continue using a Windows 10 computer until late 2026, spending $50 for 1 year's worth of extended support could be a very good choice. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In Short Circuits, when I had to rename a lot of files recently, it occurred to me that it's been a while since I mentioned the importance of having a comprehensive file renamer on the computer. Even if you've installed Microsoft's free PowerToys and have activated the Power Rename utility, there are good reasons to obtain the equally free Bulk Rename utility. The Power Rename utility works well, but is somewhat limited. The Bulk Rename utility offers an astonishingly large number of features and options, but it can be intimidating. Let's take a look at both of them. To open Power Rename after installing PowerToys and activating the function, select the Windows File Explorer or another file browser such as Cuter, right-click the block of selected files, and choose Rename with Power Rename. You might need to select more options from the first context menu to find that option. The files you select will be shown, and check marks will indicate that they will be renamed. You'll see a couple of images on the TechBiter Worldwide website, and for that example, I chose to change the file extension on some photo files from JPEG in uppercase to JPEG in lowercase. The dialog box's top field contains the text defined. The second field contains the replacement text. I selected case sensitive because Windows is case insensitive by default, and then selected apply. Two files were not changed. One was a Photoshop file with a PSD extension. The other was a JPEG file that already had a lowercase extension. I could also have left the text boxes empty, told Power Rename to apply the changes to the extension only, and selected the lowercase text formatting button. Both of those options are quick, simple, and easy. But perhaps you need to do something a little more complex, and that's what the Bulk Rename utility can do. To use the Bulk Rename utility, which is free for non-commercial use, open the app and navigate to the directory where the files you want to rename are located. I'll start with a simple change that reverses the change I made with Power Rename. After selecting all the files in the directory, I could choose option 11, which modifies the extensions, and specify uppercase. That would change all files, including PSD files and some JPEG files that initially had lowercase extensions. That's the fastest and easiest option, but not quite what I want. So I selected only the files I wanted to modify and clicked Rename. Equally quick, simple, and easy. But what if you've returned from a trip to the zoo, for example, and you have more than 100 files with names like DSCF0575.jpg? You'd prefer the files to have names that are more descriptive, maybe something like Zoo 2024-44, which would indicate the subject and the date. Well, that's good, but you'll need a sequential number or some sort of identifier to differentiate each individual file. And maybe these are images you took, and you want to be able to identify which photos are yours because your husband's pictures will also be uploaded to this directory. So maybe something like Zoo-BB, which are your initials, 2024-04-04, and then you could append a 3-digit number at the end of the whole thing. Some photo applications, such as Adobe Lightroom, can rename files as they're being imported, but not all applications do that. The Bulk Rename utility can handle all of the changes I've listed in a single go. Start by selecting all the files and use Option 2 for name to specify Zoo with a dash after it. Then move to Option 7, which is Add, and add open parenthesis BB close parenthesis dash as a suffix. Next, choose Option 8, which is Auto Date, and specify a custom format as a suffix. The format is percent uppercase Y dash percent M dash percent D dash. That produces the date such as 2024-04-04 with a trailing dash. Why do we need a trailing dash? Well, we're going to put a number back there. Now, all that's left is that sequential number. Move to Option 10, which is Numbering, and specify that the numbering should be placed as a suffix, starting at 1, incrementing by 1, padded to 3 spaces. Click Rename, and you're done. See the example photos on the TechBiter Worldwide website. The Bulk Rename utility, which is free for personal use, offers an amazing number of options, and that's why some people panic when they see the interface for the first time. The first important step is to understand you don't have to fill out all of those little text boxes and place check marks in all of the selectors. Use only the ones you need to specify the name change you want, and leave everything else alone. There are 14 major selections, including nearly 30 text boxes, more than 20 check boxes, and about a dozen drop-down selection lists. If you want to know how every part of the program works, you can download a manual, which is more than 50 pages long. There's also a handy online FAQ that answers a lot of questions. And you may not need any of that because it's easy to read the section headings on the user interface and figure out which ones you need. You may not rename a lot of files every day, but there's nothing better than Bulk Name Utility when you do need to do that. It's free, as I said, for home and non-commercial use. Commercial users should plan to license the application. You'll find additional details on the Bulk Rename Utility website, and there's a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Microsoft keyboards will soon have an artificial intelligence key, but there are other ways to get Copilot's attention. There's already a key for emoticons on some keyboards, too, but you don't need that one either, particularly if you need accented characters found in many languages. Keyboards with the special emoticon key make it easy to open the panel with emojis, GIFs, and antique ASCII emoticons, along with some special characters and the Windows clipboard. But how much harder is it to press the Windows key and a period? You'll get the same result, and you don't need an extra key. Microsoft's emoticon selector doesn't make it easy to insert typographic characters, though, because you'll have to scroll through a long list. The ones you use most often will be collected automatically at the top of the list. The numeric keypad sequences needed for special characters that people use frequently are fairly easy to memorize. Bullet points are Alt-0149. The E acute is Alt-0233. There are sequences for certain fractions, the cent symbol. But what about the ones you don't use very often? Maybe the euro symbol, the copyright and trademark symbols, things like that. you may have a chart hanging on the wall nearby. That's what I did for many years. Or you might visit a website, such as Google Search, to find the code. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just click a couple of keys and then pick the character you want? Well, in fact, you can do that now if you've installed PowerToy's Quick Accent. Define how to activate the utility, and hundreds of special characters are at your call. Need a lowercase o with an umlaut? Easy. Press and hold the O key, then immediately press the activation key while continuing to hold the O. Press the left or right arrow key and select the O with the umlaut and release the key. Need a euro symbol? Well, euro starts with E, so start there and you'll soon have your euro symbol. Yen starts with a Y, so start with Y and you'll get the yen symbol very quickly. Need a pound? Yep, you're ahead of me. Start with the P key and you'll get the pound sign quickly. The activation key can be the space bar or the left or right arrow keys or any of those options. And there we have it, another reason to download PowerToy's. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.